chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 30-35. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" In these 5 verses, we have what is known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. It could be argued that this is probably the most well-known parable of Christ. Even today, we still refer to people as a Good Samaritan. A parable, simply a fictitious story for the purpose of teaching and illustrating a certain lesson or truth. The design of a parable was to create a drama in picture language that would describe the reality that is being illustrated. Jesus, of course, often spoke in parables. And every parable he spoke had a specific point. There may have been a variety of points, but there was, in every parable, there is a specific point that he is illustrated. Now, what prompted Jesus speaking this parable is recorded in verses 25 through verse 29. And by way of quick summary, we read there of a certain lawyer. Again, keep in mind that this is a different kind of lawyer than what we think today. This lawyer is a man who had studied biblical law and was considered an expert in the law of God. This lawyer would have been a highly respected person in the religious system of the day. He would be an associate with the scribes. He was a man who was devoted to religious works. He was a believer and a promoter of salvation by the works of the law. He was a man who believed that he could make himself acceptable to God through his own works. Generally speaking, these lawyers, of course, were very religious. They were also very proud individuals, very self-righteous individuals. And we see that this lawyer steps forward, stands before Jesus Christ, and we're told that he does this with the intent to entrap Christ. He desires to draw Christ into saying something by which he could be criticized. And with that intent, he asks this question: "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" From that question, We see that he thought that he could do something to earn salvation. Jesus answered the question in verse 26, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" The lawyer answers in verse 27, using a combination of Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and Leviticus 19, in verse 8, and he gives a summation of the law, that is, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus responds in verse 28, "Thou hast answered right." What Jesus is telling him is the law requires complete and perfect obedience. You have to love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus proceeded to tell him to do something which Jesus knew was impossible. This do. Those words should have convicted that lawyer of his utter failure, that he came short of God's requirements. But this lawyer, instead, he ignores the Lord's words, and he attempts to, it says, to justify himself. And he does that by asking another question. Verse 29, "And who is my neighbor?" The second question is related to the first. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus has told him, you have to perfectly obey. And this man, seeking to justify himself, he's looking for a loophole. He says, who is my neighbor? So here is a man who thinks he can obtain salvation through the law. He's seeking to justify himself. And it is this man seeking to earn eternal life by his own virtue, by his own morality, by his own religion and emotional attachment to God, that Jesus speaks this parable to. So don't forget whom Jesus is speaking to. Because he uses this parable to expose this lawyer's terrible condition and to show him the utter folly of any hope of salvation by the deeds of the law. Now, the parable is not merely, as most think, a simple story about having compassion, showing mercy and kindness to our fellow man. Most see this simply as a parable illustrating that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves without regard to race or affiliation. And certainly, the moral lesson is there. Certainly, you can teach that from that parable. Certainly, there is nothing wrong with that. But the parable is much deeper. It's much more profound than what people think. The deeper meaning of the parable gets back to this question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The meaning of the parable is the salvation of a sinner, and that is not by the works of the law. In this parable, we have depicted to us the state of the sinner. He or she is ruined and helpless in themselves. And they need the grace and the love of the one who can save their soul. Every single person here today, and every single person in the world, is either saved or unsaved. There's no in between. You're either one or the other. And it is our prayer that we can, both the saved and the unsaved, can see themselves in the parable. If unsaved, what we read in this parable, you need desperately at this very moment. If saved, what we read in this parable is an event that has occurred in your life. We want to speak today undying and rescued on the Jericho Road. Dying and rescued on the Jericho Road. In this parable, we are immediately introduced to a certain man. A certain man. And it is in this certain man that we see the terrible condition and plight of the unsaved sinner. And it is in this certain man that we see what every saved sinner has been rescued from. Now, we're told of this man's direction or the course which he was following. We read in verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So we see this man. He has turned his back and he has left Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem signifies the foundation of peace. And this man has turned his back and he has left the foundation of peace. The city of Jerusalem is described in Psalm 46 and verse 4 as the city of God. In Isaiah 60 verse 14, the city of the Lord. Jeremiah 31:17, it is referred to as the throne of the Lord. Nehemiah 1 verse 11, the holy city. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 3, the city of truth. It is the place of worship in the Bible. It is a place of devotion. It is a place of happiness and peace. It is a place connected to God. And now we see this certain man. He's going away from Jerusalem. And we're told that he is heading in the direction of Jericho. Jericho, of course, was a place of curse. It's a place of doom. It's a place of damnation. And a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, in considering the road between these two cities, Jerusalem and Jericho, do not visualize a wide road. Do not visualize some highway. But it's more like a path, a camel track, if you will. It was very rocky. It was an extremely dangerous gorge, steep, winding, descending road, descending approximately 3,600 feet in 17 miles. So this man is traveling downward. He is heading to Jericho, further and further from Jerusalem, the place of God, getting closer and closer to Jericho, the place of ruin and destruction. If you're here and unsaved, this is you at this moment. You are traveling away from God, and you are headed to destruction. We that are saved May we never forget this is the direction we were going when the Lord rescued us. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was extremely dangerous, in a very frightening place. So much so that it was called the Bloody Way, or the Way of Blood. The reason it was called that was because of the bandits that hid along the way. In fact, we're told that people would pay large sums of money for an armed escort on this path. And now we read a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Again, if unsaved, that's you. And no one travels a more dangerous, a more threatening road than the unsaved sinner. It is a road that leads to the eternal wrath of God. It is a road that will end in eternal destruction. And that can happen at any moment. The unsaved sinner travels a very frightening road. We also see that this man was overtaken by thieves. He's walking along and a gang of thieves spring out of the shadows, knocking him down, overcoming him. A certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, or hostile powers. Now, I believe these thieves are emblematic of sin and Satan. The two greatest, the two most powerful, most dangerous, most troubling, most ruthless and cruel thieves that have ever entered the world. Sin and Satan. When Adam forsook and rebelled against God, the entire human race fell into the cruel hands of these two thieves. Sin and Satan. And if unsaved, this is you. You're under the conquering power of sin and Satan. And if saved, this is where you were. This is where you were. Notice also the man is stripped. In verse 33, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which, that is the thieves, stripped him of his raiment. This man was stripped of whatever clothes he wore that day. No doubt whatever he possessed that day was all taken. These thieves, with cruelty and violence, they took everything. And there is this certain man. He's destitute. He's naked. He's fully exposed to the dangers of that Jericho road. This man has nothing. And he has nothing to offer anyone who might rescue him. And sin and Satan has stripped man, leaving him destitute, leaving him naked and fully exposed to the law of God, to the justice of God, and to the wrath of God. And many, just like this lawyer, still think that they can do something to earn eternal life. But they have nothing. They have nothing. Man being stripped by sin and Satan has nothing to offer to God. This man has no ability to make himself righteous before God. And so it was with this lawyer that Jesus is speaking to. He has no ability to bring himself back into the favor of God. If unsaved, this is you. You've been stripped of something far more precious than raiment and possessions. You've been stripped of the image of God. You've been stripped of union and communion with God. You've been stripped of the righteousness of God, stripped of fellowship with God. stripped of peace with God. So you look at this man, and he's fallen under the conquering power of sin and Satan. And he's been stripped. If unsaved, again, this is you. If saved, this is where you were before you were rescued. Notice also, this man has been wounded. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. So we look at him. He's been overtaken and stripped by thieves. He's lying there with nothing. And he's injured. He's been disabled. He's suffering. And one cannot measure the grievous wounds that sin and Satan have caused. This man is brutally wounded. Cannot heal himself. And he has nothing to offer for a remedy. He has nothing to offer for a cure. He's stripped. If unsaved, this is you. You have nothing to offer to God for salvation. Nothing. And if saved, may we never forget, this is where we were before we were rescued. This man was left in this condition. Again, and a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and then notice, and departed, leaving him half dead. So the thieves left him on the side of the road. That's where sin and Satan will leave you. They're not your friends. They left him there with nothing. They left him there naked. They left him there wounded, bruised, bleeding, and suffering. They left him there helpless. They left him there fully exposed to the dangers of the Jericho road. So we see him there. He cannot bind up his wounds. He cannot arise and seek shelter. He has nothing to offer for a remedy. And there he is where the thieves have left him. And there he will die outside of a miracle. The thieves, they left him in a terrible place. A morbid place. And you look at him there, he's dying on the Jericho road. He's dying on that road. He's dying on that road that goes away from God. He's dying on that road that is going further and further and further from God. There he is, dying. If unsaved, so it is with you. Sin and Satan, if unsaved, has left you in the depths of spiritual death and in the depths of unrighteousness and defilement and guilt and condemnation and helplessness. You need to see yourself in this certain man. You've been conquered and stripped. You're in a terrible condition. And you've been left to die on the Jericho road. You see this man lying there. He has no way in and of himself to escape his plight. He can't do anything to help himself. He's in a very desperate situation. He can't lift himself up out of this condition. His situation is urgent. And so it is today if you are unsaved. Whether you realize it or not, your situation is urgent. And whether you realize it or not, you are dying on the Jericho Road. If you're saved, may we never forget this is where we were. So you look at this man. He's been overcome by hostile powers. He's been stripped. He's naked. He's destitute. He's exposed. He has nothing to offer for a rescue. He has been wounded. He cannot help himself. He lies there and he is prey to the elements. He is prey to the wild animals and anyone else who might do him harm. And he's been left in that terrible condition to die. And outside of a miracle, he will die in that condition. So if unsaved, you need to look at this man and you need to see yourself. This is you. If saved, look at this man and see where you once were. You were dying on the Jericho Road. And outside of a miracle, you would have died there. That brings us to two other individuals, a priest and a Levite. We read of these two individuals in verses 31 and 32. On that day, a priest happened to pass by, and a Levite happened to pass by. These two individuals represent the law of God, both moral and ceremonial. They represent religion. Again, Jesus is telling this parable to a man who is seeking to earn salvation by his own virtue, by his own morality, by his religion. And these two individuals, a priest and a Levite, show us that the law of God and religion will not rescue this man. In fact, law and religion will leave the man right where he is, dying on the Jericho Road. We read, there came down a certain priest that way. We don't know, but perhaps this robbed and naked and wounded, dying, helpless man, alone and with nothing to offer, perhaps he could hear the footsteps of this priest. And as the sound of those footsteps got closer, perhaps hope was aroused in this certain man. Maybe this man, maybe this individual will help me. And though the priest came close enough to see him, we read, he passed by on the other side. He turned and he went away. And now the sound of the priest's footsteps fade into the distance. And this man who has been overtaken and stripped and wounded by thieves and left to die in that condition has come to realize there's no hope in that man. He's not going to help me. What can I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question that Jesus is answering along with, who is my neighbor? In the process of time, with this man's condition getting no better and dying on the Jericho road, we read that a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and he looked at him, or he looked on him. So he comes even closer than the priest did. He's standing over this man. He's looking upon him. So now this certain man, not only did he hear the footsteps of one approaching, but he could actually feel the presence of this Levite standing by. And again, hope is aroused in this man. This man's going to help me. He's come where I am. He's going to help me. This man is going to get me off this road. Then come those words. He passed by on the other side. And all the utter hopelessness and despair that this dying man now feels. And what we read here, if you're unsaved, needs to happen to you. Again, the priest and the Levite represent the law of God. They represent religion. And they pass by on the other side. There is the personal realization in this man who's lying there in the Jericho road. There's no hope. There's no healing. There's no rescue in the law of God. There's no hope. There's no rescue in the religion of the world. If unsaved, you travel a dangerous road that leads further and further and further from God and closer to eternal ruin. And you've been overtaken, you've been stripped, you've been wounded by sin and Satan, and you are dying on the Jericho road. And if you in any way are placing your hope in the law of God or religion, you will die there. They pass by on the other side. So both the priest and the Levite have passed by on the other side. And there he lies dying on the Jericho road. And it has been made very real to him. And Jesus is telling this lawyer, this is what needs to happen to you. But it's been made very real to this man. That there is no relief, there is no cure. There is no hope in the law or religion. You see him there and all hope is gone. When Jesus saves a sinner, he brings that sinner to that point. So there he lies, all hope is gone. But the story does not end there. And it didn't end there for me. And praise God, it doesn't have to end there for you. We read of a Samaritan. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan. The priest and the Levite, when they pass by on the other side, they left him where the thieves left him. And the law of God will leave you where the thieves of sin and Satan have left you. And when they passed by on the other side, what did they do? They added to the distress of this man. But then we read these words, but a certain Samaritan. Four words that changed the entire scene. But a certain Samaritan. This Samaritan points to Jesus. Though Jesus was not a Samaritan, we know, But the Pharisees, in their hatred and rejection of him in John 8:48, called him a Samaritan. And this hated and rejected one has the saving, delivering, healing, and redeeming power that this poor, robbed, stripped, wounded, deserted, helpless, and dying man so desperately needed. So there he lies, a certain man, overcome by an enemy, robbed, stripped, wounded, and left to die. But all is not hopeless, because we read a certain Samaritan. I like that. It is a certain Samaritan for a certain man. A certain man, a certain Samaritan. Notice, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was. On a certain day, at a certain time, and in a certain place, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he, the certain man, was. And notice, and when he saw him, he could see this man's deplorable condition. He could see that he'd been robbed, that he'd been stripped. He could see this man has nothing. Has nothing to offer me. He could see the man has been grievously wounded. He could see the man is helpless. He could see the distress and despair that this man was in. He could see that he was dying. It says, he had compassion on him. We're told of everything the Samaritan did. We're not told anything that the certain man did. He looked upon this man and he loved him. And he looked upon him with the eye of mercy and grace. The priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side. But verse 34, and went to him. And went to him. And did he not do so with intent and purpose? He moved closer. He moved closer. The priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side, leaving this man to die in the Jericho road. And if you think today that you can be saved by observing the law will leave you on the side of the road dying. And there you will die, outside of a miracle. But this certain Samaritan, he didn't pass by on the other side. Notice also it says, and bound or closed up his wounds. He's dealing with this man. Pouring in oil and wine. He's giving this man relief and comfort. So you see, this Samaritan, he did not come to this man and merely make an offer. He came to rescue him. And on a certain day, at a certain time, and in a certain place, a certain man named Jesus came to this certain sinner. And he did not come to make an offer. He came to rescue me from that road. This Samaritan did not say to this man, sir, if you can crawl 50 feet, I'll help you. Sir, get up. He didn't tell him to do anything. He got down where he was and he ministered to that man and he helped him. And that's what Jesus does when he saves. a sinner. Notice also, and set him on his own beast. He doesn't say, if you can stand up and get yourself on this mule, I'll take you off of this road. He picked him up. Why did he pick him up? Because the man could not get up of himself. He's talking to this lawyer. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? There's nothing you can do. You're this certain man. You need someone to pick you up. He picked him up. And he put him on that mule or whatever it was. He lifts him up from where the thieves had left him. He lifts him up from where the priest and the Levite had left him. And then it says, and brought him. He did not merely assist him. He picked him up. He brought him. He brought him off of that Jericho road and took care of him. What we read here is what needs to happen to the unsaved sinner. Everyone who is saved can identify with this event. It's a picture. So in closing, if unsaved, you are dying on the Jericho road. But I want you to know there's one who walks that road named Jesus. The one and only Savior of condemned, alienated, unacceptable, perishing sinners. Jesus, the one who walks the Jericho road, has the righteousness you need. You see, as an unsaved sinner, you need perfect righteousness. And it's too late for you to have perfect righteousness. That was ruined when you were conceived. But Jesus is that perfect righteousness. He has the cleansing that you need. Sin is filthy. It's vile. It must be cleansed. The law cannot cleanse sin. Religion cannot cleanse sin. Home Baptist Church cannot cleanse sin. The clergy cannot cleanse sin. There is only one who can wash away sin, and that is Jesus Christ. He has the reconciliation that you need. The Bible says you are at enmity with God. You say, well, I'm trying to make my peace with God. You can't do it. You have nothing to offer. But there's one who walks the Jericho road who can make reconciliation between you and God. He's the one, it is this one who comes to this individual. This individual has been walking away from God. He's been robbed. He's been wounded. He's left to die. And if unsaved, you are dying on the Jericho road. Think about that. We're all dying. We're all dying. But let me tell you something. You don't want to die on the Jericho road. You don't want to die in this condition. So there he is. Dying on the Jericho road. But Jesus, the one who walks that road, he's God's remedy. He's God's solution. And he comes to this man. And he does everything that this man needs. That is salvation. If you are here and unsaved, we pray. We pray that Jesus would come to where you are today. that He would come right where you are and bring you up from the Jericho Road. And if saved, may we always be mindful of who it was that rescued us. Thank God. Jesus did not pass me by. The law passed by, showing me that there was no hope in the deeds of the law. The deeds of the law would not get me off of that road. The deeds of the law would not impart life into my soul. They passed by. All hope was gone. But a certain Samaritan, a certain man, Jesus, did not pass me by. He could have. There was nothing in me to merit him to stop. But he did not pass by. He came where I was and ministered to my needs and brought me off of that road. And he's been taking care of me ever since. That's true of everyone that's saved. Oh, how we ought to praise the one who rescued us. And again, if you're here and unsaved, there's only one. There's only one. Again, as we've said before, don't get mad because there's only one. You better rejoice and praise God that there is one that can save your soul and bring you off of that Jericho Road. So I ask you today, are you dying on the Jericho Road, or have you been taken off the Jericho Road? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.